People have been using lead for thousands of years, but it wasn't until the 1970s and the work of a doctor from Philadelphia that we learned that even small amounts of the metal can cause long-term cognitive problems in children. Reporter Marielle Segarra from WHYY's Keystone Crossroads tells the story of that doctor and why almost 40 years later, lead is still a danger.
It's 1957. We're at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and Dr. Herbert Needleman is on his way to see a 3-year-old patient. Needleman's a young doctor, 6 feet tall with brown eyes and dark hair. This is the first case of lead poisoning he's ever seen. And when he shows up, the girl is not in good shape.
This girl was lethargic and almost comatose.
Lydia Denworth wrote a book about Needleman called Toxic Truth. He has Alzheimer's disease and wasn't able to talk for this story. Needleman treats the girl for lead poisoning, and she starts to feel better. So he tells the mom, "Your daughter's okay, but she was probably poisoned by lead paint or dust at your apartment, and you can't go back there."
And the mother just looked at him and said, "Well, where am I supposed to go?" She didn't have any money. She was a single mother. And suddenly, Needleman says, it's like the scales fell from his eyes.
This patient marked the beginning of a lifelong crusade for Needleman. He went on to make a huge discovery that changed the way we think about the dangers of lead. But it didn't change everything. In the 1950s, when Needleman was a new doctor, lead was everywhere. Paint, pipes, toys, gasoline. You'd hear commercials like this one about how leaded gasoline made engines drive better.
Drive up to the pump with the Ethel emblem and say, "Fill her up."
Needleman became consumed by thoughts of lead. This would be a good time to point out that everybody describes him as a crusader against injustices, large and small. His son, Josh Needleman, tells a story about a canoe trip the family took when he was a kid. He and his father were paddling along a river when they saw a group of teenagers throwing rocks at a duck in the water. Needleman got really angry.
And he began to shout at them and said, "Leave that duck alone."
They were so shocked that they stopped.
He could just not hold himself back when he saw something that was unjust.
Josh says the same thing went for lead. Needleman wondered whether the small amounts of lead kids were exposed to every day could damage their brains. He did a study using children's baby teeth to measure their lead levels. He described the results in a PBS documentary years later.
We found that children who had high lead in their teeth, but who had never been identified as having any problems with lead, had lower IQ scores, poor language function, and poor attention.
The findings were controversial. Critics, including companies that made lead products, said these things could be caused by other factors, like family life and education. But the federal government had already started phasing lead out of gasoline. And in the 80s, thanks in part to Needleman's research, it sped that up. Then it put out a plan to eliminate lead poisoning for good. Needleman testified in support of a bill to fund that effort.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm Herbert Needleman.
His hair was gray, and he wore wire-rimmed glasses and a beige suit.
There is a broad consensus on the part of everybody except the lead industry and its spokesman that lead is extremely toxic at extremely low doses.
The idea was to get all the lead out of homes, but there was resistance from landlords and realtors. Congress didn't pass the bill. Then some scientists who represented the lead industry in lawsuits accused Needleman of scientific misconduct, saying he cherry-picked his data to prove a point. Here he is in that PBS documentary.
If you're found guilty of scientific misconduct, you're out of business. Your reputation is ruined. You're through.
After a year-long investigation, his university found no misconduct. It did say he mischaracterized some procedures in his study, but not in a way that changed the findings. Over time, more studies showed effects of lead at low levels. But the government stopped talking about eliminating lead poisoning entirely. Lead levels in young children have dropped by more than 90% since Needleman's first study. But a lot of kids are still exposed to lead, and scientists say no amount of it in the blood is safe. Journalist Lydia Denworth says Needleman always felt like we hadn't done enough.
It became old news. We thought we'd solved the problem, and we never really were willing to finish it.
And that's why, despite all that's changed, kids still show up at the doctor with lead in their blood. And like Needleman back in the 50s, there's only so much that doctor can do. For NPR News, I'm Marielle Segarra.